without blemish. And that was myself, my son, Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, he took everything that had been, that would be, all the punishment, all the separation from God, he took it upon himself so that we could be offered a way to be right with God, a new relationship. That's grace. It's the, you heard the story before, the car crashing into the house. You crash a car into someone's house and they say, oh, have my car instead because your car's wrecked. It makes no sense, but that's what God does. He says, you don't deserve this. I'm going to give it to you. It's not about what we've earned. So James is then saying, but it's not about earning salvation. It's about using your salvation and showing people what it's done in your life. Now, I was trying to think of a way to explain this, and this is probably lose some of you because it's going to be a football reference. But once upon a time, there was a really, really world-class footballer called George Weah. Nope, no one knows him. Okay. George Weah, he was FIFA World Player of the Year. He was a fantastic footballer. George is nodding. So if George nods to football, the answer is yes. He was one of the best players ever known. And people knew who he was. They thought he was fantastic. And then there was a manager called Graham Souness, who's done lots and lots of managers. Yeah, Wince, oh, yes. Oof. And I'm a Liverpool fan. Oh, dear. But at the time, he was managing Southampton. And a player called Ali Dia came up to him and said, hi, I'm the cousin of George Weah. He's trained me all my life, and I am just as good as a footballer as him. I know him. I know what he's like. He's shown me the way. I'm just as good. And Graham Souness went, really? All right, then, I'll sign you. Go on, then. He came. He had a contract for 2 weeks. Well, he had a month contract to start with, and they thought, give him 2 weeks training, and we'll put him in a game. They put him in a game. He was awful. He couldn't kick a ball. He couldn't run. He couldn't do anything. He was subbed off almost as quickly as he was subbed on, and he was pretty much fired on the spot and told, you're useless. I don't care who you're related to. You are rubbish. It doesn't matter about our association when it comes to God. It doesn't make us good at stuff we do. Oh, I know God, so therefore, sorted. You know, everything I do will be great. James is like, no. If you want to show us that you really know God, if you want to put any weight behind that, you need to put works to that faith. You say that God loves you and he saved you, and therefore you love others. Well, show me. Show me that you love others. Jesus told his disciples to serve one another. Are you serving? He said, if you want to be first, then you need to be willing to be last. So James is saying we've got to work through our salvation. Yes, we've received it. Yes, you are saved. But it's got to be more than a get-into-jail-free card. It can't just be something that you just sit in your back pocket and go, all right, I'm sorted. Because otherwise you haven't actually really taken on board what God has done for us. There has to be more. If we're going to be a church that serves our community, it's got to be that. People have got to see that we're Christ-like. And part of being Christ-like is loving and serving. I'll be honest, in this day and age, it is a skeptical time. People want to question everything. They want to challenge everything. We are probably at the highest point of believing we are our own gods at this moment in time. We believe that we've got it sorted. I've got this. I know this. Science says this. Google told me this. We're in that day and age. And that's not a bad thing at all. It's good to be enlightened. It's good to challenge. It's good to explore. But it means people aren't going to necessarily wandering off the streets just because, you know, we've put on a disco or because, you know, we've got a nice new building, dare I say. It's not going to go, ooh, okay, I'll come now. It doesn't quite work that way. What makes people want to know about God, about this Jesus that we preach, is when they see the outward working in a people, when they see that people in their communities are being loved, when they see their next door neighbor has had someone come and look after them because they had a fall, when someone in work gets a lift into work every day for no petrol charge, for no fee, when people go out of their way to help one another and they discover the reason is because that person is a Christian. Those people over there are Christians. In the year 2000, Soul Survivor joined up with the Message Trust, which is a large Christian kind of charity in Manchester. And they did a huge Soul Survivor festival called The Message. And it was Soul Survivor would have a campsite in the middle of Manchester. They would go to the MEN Arena every single morning and every single evening and worship. And you know, top worship leaders at the time, it was Matt Redman and Tim Hughes and Martin Lazell and all the Gold Star guys going for it. Vicky Beechin, and it was awesome. In the day, we went out and we did mission. That was the point. We went out and served, and I heard stories of people who were on estates around Manchester, estates that were completely wrecked, completely destroyed, run down. People didn't want to live there, abandoned houses, rows and rows of burnt out, abandoned shops, petrol station houses. No one wanted to go there. There was one place known as The Valley, which was called The Valley because its full nickname was Death Valley, or The Death Valley, or The Valley of Death. Or so people just called it The Valley. You can imagine sort of place this was. So what Manchester, the message thought they would do to survive is send 2,000 Christians in. They thought, that's sorted out. So they bust them in, and a few of my friends were on that team, and in they went. And they cleared up parks and roads. They helped clear out petrol garages that had been torn down and rubble. They built things. They planted gardens. They sorted stuff out. And over the week, as this built up, the place started to change. There was reports coming that the children, the youth, were going out into the streets in the morning looking for the buses coming. And when they'd see the buses on the horizon, they'd be going, the Christians are coming, the Christians are coming. Because they knew someone's coming with us right now who's going to play football. Someone's coming with us right now who's going to actually have a conversation with me and not talk to me as if I'm dirt. Someone's coming now who's actually going to give us the time of day because they want to, not because they've been made to. My two friends were on a project where they were clearing up I think it was a petrol station or something, kind of being torn down. And he said every day this guy came out of the flats opposite them and he just sat on the wall. He said the first day he came out, the people who were kind of there, kind of the CSO like link, I don't think it was CSOs back then, but something like that, they got a bit nervous. And then the next day there were two police officers. And then the next day there were three police officers. And then the next day there were four police officers and one of them was armed. And they kind of think, this is really weird, what's going on? And this guy every day came out and he just sat on the wall until one day, apparently, he walked over to him and said, why are you doing this? And the police kind of quickly descended towards him, and one of the leaders stepped forward and just said, we're doing this because God loves you and he doesn't care what you've done before, he wants to forgive you and give you a new life. And the guy fell to his knees, cried his eyes out, and became a Christian there and then. And the police did not know what to do because they were like, this guy, he beats up police officers, he's been in and out of prison, we are scared to go near him. It changed his life. Not because they banged on the door every day saying, hi, can we tell you about Jesus? But because opposite his road, they cleared up and they loved their community. The end of the 2 weeks that they were there, we went back. I went with people from Hesel. We travelled back for one of the nights. And the whole week had been amazing. Police commissioner came out and he said, 10 days you guys have been doing this. And you've done X, Y, Z, and it's been amazing. He said, but the thing that has astounded me more than anything else, I'm not a Christian, he said, but it's made me think, he said, because over the last 10 days, we have had no reported crime in Manchester. And you can imagine the uproar from that. Could you imagine that happened here? Imagine if just there was something that swept across West Kirby, Hoylake, Mells. People saying, something's happening, something's changing. There's no crime. There's no poverty. People are no longer on benefits because they're being provided for. Something is changing in their communities. That is how you change community. Years later, you can't get a house in that state. There's a waiting list. You can't get one. It's just rammed. It's full of people. It transformed the estate. Things like this are happening all over. And all we've got to do is step out. We sang a song tonight called Oceans. And the hardest thing about this is the stories are great and they get you excited and they get us emotional and they get us wound up. But it comes down to, okay, how do we do this? How do we get out and do it? Because you don't understand where I work or where I live or where this or whatever. And I get that. I really do. I understand that. It's not just simple as 1, 2, 3. But sometimes we've got to actually be willing to step out. The song that says, lead us where I feel like, where my feet fail to wander, take me anyway. It could just be starting a conversation with someone that you work with. Or saying hello to your neighbour when you've never actually said hello to him. It could be going beyond that. The question of why we do this, we would say, is pretty obvious. Why? Why should the church serve? Why do we need to love our communities? I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in Matthew 25, there is the story of the sheep and the goats. If you want to read it in your own time, it's Matthew 25, 31 to 48. And Jesus basically says in a nutshell, there are going to be two types of people on this earth. They're going to be those who hear me and do what I'm asking them to do. And there are those who will hear me but won't do the things I ask them to do. And when it comes to that day when God stands before all his people and says, judgment has arrived, new heaven, new earth is ready to be created. He's going to say to those who heard and did, come. Because when you did those things, when you cleared up rubble opposite where I lived, you did that for me. When you gave a meal because I was hungry, you did that for me. When you came and visited me because I was ill, you did that for me. When you went out of your way 3 miles to drop me home in the rain, you did that for me. And he'll say to the other people who will say, but God, we never saw you. We never saw you. And he says, yes, but you saw the people of this world. You saw my children. You saw those who I've created. And if you didn't do it for them, you didn't do it for me. Now, it can be really easy to take the negative twist on that and to be all kind of, oh no, I'm a goat. I'm going to go really bad. But what I want to encourage you is actually, where are the areas where you're already a sheep in there, where you're already doing that? Keep doing it. Do more. Can you do one more step along? I guarantee everyone in this room has done something there. I don't think anyone in this room would sit there and say, no, I've never, ever been kind, loved, or helped anyone in any way, ever. If that is you, by the way, though, we don't condemn you. Please receive prayer and help us to get you there. But I'm pretty certain that we're all here saying, well, I've done something nice to someone at some point. And God is saying, brilliant. Do more. Do more of it. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Step by step by step. You do it through love. The one thing I want to finish on is that Paul tells us in the Bible that, paraphrasing now massively, if we do all the amazing great things and we run youth events that bring thousands of young people and we run services in great new buildings and we run missions year after year, but we don't love, then I don't want to hear it, because it's just like a white noise in my face. You're just acting like you think it's all good, but you're not actually living it. You're not doing it. If we're going to grow a church that serves our community, we've got to be people who are willing to get out there and to do things. And out there sometimes can literally just be saying to a friend of yours, you know, hey, this is coming up. Do you fancy coming along? Or, anything I can do? I'm going shopping tomorrow. Can I get you anything? Or, hey, do you want a lift home? See, we always seem to arrive and I could always take you home. It could be the smallest things. When we step out, you'd be surprised. I have a group of friends who are not Christians, and they think I'm great because I'm a Christian. They respect that. Really respect you. Really respect you. And, you know, they have a few more drinks and really respect you for your faith. And I think there's no way in here because they put a wall of, you know, just meh up in front of me. But the other day, I just took a chance, and I was coming to the toddler group here, and I thought, oh, I'll text my friend who lives up the road. He's got about an 8-month-old boy. And I thought, maybe he'll come. I probably left it too late. I'll text him anyway. And I text him, and I thought, he'll probably just ignore it. He won't be interested. And he was straight back on the text going, oh, no, that'd be awesome. Hang on, let me just check. And he came back and said, oh, he's just gone down for his nap. He said, what time is it finished? 11:30. Oh, okay, we're not going to make it today. And I thought, oh, that's it, my stupid fault. Then he texts back going, so is it every week then? I mean, could I come with you next week? And I was like, well, no, it's not every week. It's every month. Here are the next dates. And he came back saying, great, I've put it on our calendar, I'll come with you next time. Now, that's just bringing someone to the toddler group here. But it's a step, and I know they don't do anything else, and there's no one else they would reach out to apart from immediate family. And it doesn't sound like a huge thing, and it doesn't make me super holy, but it's a step. It's saying, well, come and let someone else look after you. Come and eat some bacon while, you know, come and join the rest of the dads who loosely supervise their children while eating bacon. It's great. It's really good. And it's just a start. We need to be a church that serves the community. And dare I say, with the rest of it, we can be relevant. And I mean, being serving the community is being Christ-like. I mean, you can't get away from that. That's never going to go away. But dare I say, we could be the most relevant seeming and looking church in the world. But if we're not actually serving anyone, then we're wasting our time. This is my final point. Mike Pilavachi, great guy, does Soul Survivor. The one thing he said in challenge to this, when a girl in her early 20s said to him, you know, when he asked her, why have you not been in church recently? She said, oh, you know, it's just, I'm finding my own way of church. You know, I get online and I listen to all these worship songs and I worship in my bedroom and it goes on for hours and it's amazing. And then I listen to 2, maybe 3 sermons and it's just, God's really speaking to me, really, really going well with God. And Mike said, that's great. He said, do you then turn to your teddies and ask them if they need healing? Do you ask your lamp if there's anything you can do for it that week? He said, where do you live that out? Because that's not church. That's just you having a nice jolly on your own. He says, there has to be an outworking. You cannot replace church. He says, you cannot say every week, that's all I'll do for my church. He says, there has to be more. Times alone with God are fantastic and you should use them. But there's got to be an outward working. Faith has to have deeds alongside it. Otherwise, it is dead. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, God, that First of all, that you were the perfect example. Jesus, we thank you that you bent down in the dirt and washed your disciples' feet. That you stood up for those who the rest of the world would have disregarded. God, help us to serve in our community. Help us to start where we are. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will work through us and that you will transform our towns, our workplaces, our families, our friendship groups. Lord, we want to see more people drop to their knees in tears at the realization of your love. Lord, we want to astound those in power over us, in our councils, in our work, in our police forces, how your love can transform and change people's hearts and communities. And Lord, let it be for your glory to grow your kingdom and not our own. Amen.